Welcome to the eBay XML and Related Technologies Awareness Series. My name is Sascha Schlegel. I'm working for Cyclone Commerce X-Way. Today is May 5th, 2006. Today's topic is eBay XML end users. And my guests today are Dr. Thomas Grimm, Ralf Mierbach, and Pim van der Eyck. Hi, Thomas. Are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Thomas is from T-Mobile Germany, from the headquarters in Bonn, Germany. Thomas is project manager of the Internet Integration Framework team. Thomas, can you tell us a little bit more what your team is doing?
Yes, we basically focus on integration technologies based on the Internet technologies. That is, for example, eBXML or web services. And additionally, it's not only integrating through the Internet, it's also the internal, also intranet-based integration of different systems. So the keywords or buzzwords are SOA backplane, service-oriented architectures, and enterprise service bus.
Thank you. Ralf Mierbach is from a company called Blue Karat, which is a service and software company. Ralf is on the board of directors of Blue Karat, and Ralf is doing, I think, almost exclusive business-to-business project management at T-Mobile. Ralf, you're here?
Yes, I'm here.
You want to add a little bit about yourself?
I'm IT consultant, and you said it before, I'm a member of the board of the Blue Karat, and our company is specialized in IT consulting, especially in Java 2 integration frameworks and integration application. And I am personally, I'm project manager and consultant concerning the B2B communication using standardized protocols like eBXML and others, and of course also web services.
Okay, thank you very much, Ralf. Our third guest is Pim. Pim, you're here?
Yes, I'm here.
Pim is an independent consultant and project manager based in the Netherlands. Pim has been involved in eBXML since 2001. Since 2004, Pim has been involved in eBXML strategic end-user projects in the UK and the Netherlands. Those were healthcare and government projects. He is currently working on standards and architecture for the e-government in the Netherlands, mainly in the justice police communities. Pim also works part-time for Oasis, and as far as I know, is the Oasis European eBXML representative. Pim, does that summarize your person?
Yes, that's a fair, succinct summary.
First of all, I want to thank you very much. This is kind of a special interview to me because we have the chance to speak with real-world eBXML end users. And also very interesting, with T-Mobile, we have a young 13-year-old high-tech company, and at the same time we have the Dutch government also represented here. So I want to thank you very much for to come here and share your experience with us. I have a few questions for you. Let's start with the first one. Simply, what's your story? How did you get to eBXML? Maybe if Thomas, you want to start?
Yes, I can do that. So basically, we started out from the requirement that was put on T-Mobile to standardize or have a standardized protocol to do B2B communication. So there was an evaluation of different protocols that was what would be possible. So one protocol we were looking into was RosettaNet, and the other one was eBXML, but also AS2. And in the end, we decided to use eBXML because of the good degree of standardization or a good grade of standardization that was already done, and also the standardization bodies that supported this protocol. And then also, since that was kind of technology-driven and not driven by business. It was also very good to have the buzzword XML within the name of EBXML. That helped a lot to have the business to buy into that approach. Maybe by the same time when we did the evaluation of this protocol, we also had internally a diploma thesis that did focus on payload standardization for the exchange with other companies or wholesale providers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we finally decided to go with the EBXML standard, even though by that time it was kind of a young standard. But so far, we're happy with it.
Okay, thank you. Pim, the Dutch government, how did they come across EBXML?
Okay, well, what I will talk about mainly here is the justice police community. This is the criminal justice system. More recently, there's also a lot of interest in other government sectors, but I'll speak about this sector mainly here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an initiative mainly driven by the general e-government buzzword. So governments have to be more effective, more efficient. Nowadays, in the criminal justice system, most information or document interchange is still paper-based. I mean, large case files are transferred in paper form between organizations. So there's a move to digital document handling, and there's therefore a need for a secure and reliable protocol to exchange that data. That was the first, say, driver, so digital dossiers. But over the years, it has become generalized to much broader information exchange paradigm, effectively. The reason for why EBXML was of interest is this community is not one organization, so there's no single IT director or IT organization who can decide what products to use, etc. It's actually a few dozen fairly independent organizations with their own IT policies and IT preferred vendors, etc. It's actually quite a large community. I mean, for instance, in police is more than 55,000 people, and the prison service is 20,000, so it's actually quite big organizations and a few smaller ones. So the need for an agreed standard to exchange data was very high, and it had to be vendor neutral. So they all have their preferred suppliers, but they needed to agree on a standard. Also, there's a more general government policy towards use of open standards.
Okay.
So that you can go to multiple suppliers and still, ideally, they can all go to their own preferred supplier and just ask them for a protocol support for a particular open standard, and then they can all communicate. So this is more or less the situation they were looking for. And more specifically, what brought them to EBXML is support for security and reliability. This is very important. There is data being exchanged that cannot be lost. Networks are very large and complex, so it's hard to monitor networks end-to-end, especially if you go into individual organizations. So reliability is very important. It has to be able to transport any payload, so not just XML, but also PDF, digital photos, videos, EDI, legacy formats, and also possibly combinations of them. So an XML file and a JPEG picture in a single message. So there, the EBXML feature of SOAP with attachments, where you can put multiple payloads in a single envelope, comes in very handy. Messages can be quite large. We have use cases for very small messages, but also for megabyte-sized messages. And EBXML supports effectively all of that. So that was, based on a feature comparison, some good features.
Mm-hmm.
We also use the multi-hop feature of EBXML. It's not very widely supported, but it's very important for us. We have segmented networks where two machines cannot, in all cases, even ping each other on the network. They're strictly separated networks. So to interconnect systems, we needed this multi-hop support as well. And then, I mean, this is from a functional point of view. Mm-hmm. Also from a policy point of view, open standards. The European Commission has done some studies on standards for e-government, in which EBXML is discussed very favorably. There were actually also some other projects that were had independently selected EBXML. So it's and we remember walking into a meeting where about a dozen projects were talking about selecting standards, and three of them actually said that they thought EBXML should be the future. So that's quite amazing, I thought.
Yep.
So more or less then the others were convinced too, and they all agreed to adopt it as the standard for inter-organizational communication. So internally they can still use whatever they want, EAI, JMS, or web services. But when they connect among each other, then it's EBXML.
Okay. So let me ask you, Thomas and Ralph, once you selected EBXML, obviously doing EBXML on your own is not very fun. Your trading partners, your suppliers or customers would also need to use EBXML to communicate with you. What's your experience? How did your trading partners pick up your decision to use EBXML?
Yeah, let me answer it like this. Some of our big customers or partners, like wholesale providers for T-Mobile, were asking for a standardized B2B exchange protocol, and they were not very picky about which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went forward and said, well, we chose EBXML as a standard, they were fine with it, so we didn't have a big problem to convince them to use specifically this standard. And they also didn't seem to have a problem with having to set up their own EBXML software to communicate with that with us, because as Pim said also before, the you can set up different trading engines and have in the background the systems you were using before. And so it was not a big deal for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add some issues, especially in T-Mobile and its partner companies. There was no standardized communication. So in former days, they used FTP, FTM, and also email as a standard, as a protocol for communicate and for transfer documents. So all the partners were very happy when T-Mobile said, hey, we have a standard now, and it doesn't matter what was the first standard. And Thomas mentioned before in his first answer that the buzzword XML was really an advantage of this protocol, because everybody wants an XML protocol, never mind what EBXML definitely still is. Yeah? And so they were very happy with EBXML. The only thing it was a little bit disadvantages is that you don't have a serial deployment environment. But in my opinion, I think a reliable protocol you can't get with a serial deployment, because the reliability protocol, nevertheless, what it is, if it's Rosetta Net or AS2 or what else, you just have a deployment on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you your different technologies you're using for your B2B projects, and in particular, I'm interested in which other components of the EBXML stack you're using. Pim, which technologies and EBXML stack components are you using in your projects?
At the moment, we use EBXML messaging, and we also use CPA for configuration. When we standardized it, we just standardized on messaging, so there's no requirement to use CPAs. But the product, or at least one of the suppliers that we're using, supports CPA, and we are quite happy with it. It's very good for managing the variety of channels that you are using. So we're quite happy with that. We also looking at the business process. But, it's just looking at the way we document our processes is it's very much based on, say, the meta model behind it. But in practice, at the moment, we just use, say, text Word documents, a bit like the way RosettaNet documents its partner interface processes. And if you do that in a consistent way, then mapping it to EBBP is straightforward. Although at the moment, there's not much, we don't have tools that support it, so we don't do it. We did it as sort of proof of concept. Once our supplier supports it, we are probably going to use it, because we have some very complex business processes involving at least half a dozen organizations in very complex conditional and temporal sequences. So we could really use a way to monitor it.
Okay. Thomas, in your EBXML setup, using other components of EBXML?
We're basically using messaging and CPPA. That's the two parts that we are currently using. We have not looked into business processes or any of the others currently, but these are the two ones we're focusing on.
Okay.
The four components, for sure.
Okay.
Also, when we evaluated products, there was no product which supports EBXML business process specification.
Okay, yeah. Ralf, from your perspective, what are the basic business requirements for a business-to-business environment? And do you think with these individual EBXML parts or the ones you're using, you can fulfill these requirements?
I'm not pretty sure I understand your question right. Let me say what Pim said before. I can totally agree that we had business requirements which has absolutely different MIME types which we want to transfer, and absolutely different size of files we had to transfer from one partner to the other. For example, we had usually we had provisioning orders which may be 1 to 10 kilobyte per order. On the other side, we had to send billing information in one file which is bigger than 500 megabyte. And also the MIME times are very different. We had to send XML, or we had to achieve XML orders. And also we had to send out billing information in PDF format, or billing information in EDIFACT format. So we had absolutely different types to transfer between our customers and the partners. And what we can say is that the requirements we tested and we had from our business projects, I think we can fulfill it with the products we use in our projects.
Okay. As we know, technology is not the only thing that has to work. It's also more about the business-to-business project management in general. Can you share a little bit about what kind of management issues or tasks you had? Pim, maybe for you, you mentioned before there were many groups already present. How did that play out, the communication between these different groups, for example?
Originally, it was we've gone through various stages. So the first stage is actually deciding on your particular standard. That was our first step, and we chose EBXML, and there were existing standardization groups with representatives from various organizations, so that was in place already, and we worked with those groups to select the standards and had workshops and consultation meetings, etc. And the second step was more translating this architecture or these concepts to an architecture for the various organizations. What are the roles and responsibilities of individual organizations? Can we do central facilities? In our case, we have a central node through which traffic goes. So it's, that's just the multi-hop scenario. So we really designed decided what the responsibilities of those various organizations and the central organization was. And the third one is actually selecting a supplier, and there we had the standard way of selecting a supplier. We did this quite thoroughly. We invited many suppliers because originally we were just selecting suppliers for one big system, but we wanted to take into account requirements of possibly future projects that might only start a year or 2 years from now. So we really wanted to have a good overview of the market. And that helped a lot. We did a proof of concept there with the two last ones in the race, effectively. So we also showed the results of that proof of concept to, say, key players, technical architects, but also some people from the data center management, to get buy-in, to get them enthusiastic about what this technology can do. That really creates a lot of enthusiasm and makes people want to jump into this. And the current stage is that we are really working. We have a central competence center, partly contractors, partly people from the various organizations that have their social networks in the various organizations, and we sort of travel around the various organizations to help them set up their systems and define their projects. So basically that's the way we've gone through creating enthusiasm, sharing competence, showing viability of solutions by doing proof of concepts. And it's time consuming, but this is the way to enlarge organizations to get things going, I think.
Okay, Thomas, in T-Mobile, how did your project management? Did you require a lot of communication within the groups?
So basically, it was very similar to what Pim said. So we got this very general requirement from business to do something about standardized B2B communication. So the evaluation was kind of broad, but we narrowed it down to those suppliers or products that were evaluated by the German group. And from there, we took it. And from there, it was a very much IT or IS-driven activity. We do have now a central component that does the B2B communication. It can be accessed now from everywhere in the T-Mobile company, also from our subsidiaries in, for example, the Netherlands or Czech or UK. Mm-hmm. Currently, we're in the state to get to that point where it is really offered to other partners of T-Mobile or customers of T-Mobile as a standard product. Maybe the project management was too much limited to the IS side. We can push it up to a certain degree, but then it must be picked up by business and marketing in a company like T-Mobile in order to make it really big within the company. We have a competence center, or we have the competence within T-Mobile. We can support our trading partners. And the next step is really to productize this B2B channel based on DXL.
Ralph, in the projects you've been involved within T-Mobile, did you have any major roadblocks? What were those roadblocks, technical or non-technical?
Yeah, of course, we had some. For example, at the beginning of our project, what was really a problem was that there was no CPA editor, for example, in the market. There was no open source CPA editor and neither a product which covers our requirements concerning that. And to set up CPAs manual, it's really a hard work, and it's very full of errors when you had to make it manual.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I think there are some open source tools. I'm not pretty sure. On the other side, at T-Mobile, we had an own project, and we implemented an own CPA editor for our requirements. The second roadblock is it's in the process concerning certificate exchange.
Okay.
I don't know that there is any process, any standardized process, how to exchange certificates, especially when you had to import the certificates inside the CPA. Yeah. And there's also no configuration management tool which gives you some information when certificates expire. I don't know that there are any configuration tools which will support you in this issue.
Okay, and you probably talk about certificates exchange prior conducting B2B, but then also during B2B, right? When after 1 year the first cert expires,
yeah,
and you have to go and replace them, and but you have to keep the communication open, and the channels still have to go and.
Especially in this case, yeah, when EbXML is still running, yeah, that you had the problem to because the certificates will expire, you had to exchange the certificates. You had also to change the CPAs, and you had to import the certificates maybe on security proxies or what else. This is really a hard work when you don't have any support, any technical support, like a configuration management tool or something like that.
Okay.
The other thing is what was also hard work, but would just still solve at T-Mobile is the whole infrastructure concerning the communication, because it's not the whole deal when you set up the EbXML gateway. You had also to set up the whole infrastructure concerning security proxies, set up of the DMZ, or we will use also a mail infrastructure for EbXML.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a hard work to set up the whole infrastructure, the whole communication infrastructure. It's not only the EbXML setup, also the whole infrastructure around that.
Mm-hmm. Pim, you had similar challenges. Or still have?
Mm-hmm, yes. I think for us, the problems are mainly non-technical. Integration in general, it's usually involves big projects, lots of different organizations, long planning cycles. So sometimes projects are already so far ahead, reusing some existing interface that they say, no, it's EbXML, we can't use it because... we've already have our tight deadlines, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So there's and then other projects. They might have other. They might only need to use it, say, 6 months or a year from where you are. So the planning cycles are very long in large government organizations. So there we have to work with and be constantly alert on developments where. You need to step in and promote the infrastructure that you're building. There's, in general, if there are existing interfaces, it's usually a challenge to get EbXML or any new protocol introduced. I mean, there's always only one of the two partners is upgrading and the other one wants to keep his interfaces constant. So that way you get stuck with lots of legacy infrastructure. But I think that's, I mean, that is not specific to EBXML. It's any B2B project has that. So what does help is sharing experience and make sure that projects, if there is a successful project, promote it to the others, because someone, some manager might have decided that they can't use EBXML, but then if you give good arguments that they can actually save time and money by using it, then the story changes. That's the non-technical part, and like Ralf said, there's also technical challenges, complex network environments, testing is hard. I think we lost a week tracking down some issue, which in the end it turned out to be a faulty network card somewhere.
All right, yeah.
And that happens. It has nothing to do with EBXML software. Integration is just hard. And also bandwidth management, for instance. If you're doing large-scale testing, then you need to be careful that you're not interrupting other production systems. And
okay.
Dedicated bandwidth, for instance, is good to have in place in time. So, well, you can go on for hours on this topic alone. I'll leave it at this.
Okay. Thomas, you've been involved now for some time. What are your recommendations if somebody is starting to look at EBXML for their business-to-business environment?
I guess the most important part of it is have the business support, like I said before. Doing or overcoming the technical roadblocks, like integration issues and so on and so forth, that can be done. But really having business support is, I think, the most important issue really to be successful with such an integration project. And in order kind of to summarize what our experiences with EBXML now are, is we are happy with this technology and we would go for that decision again if we had to take it again right now. One of the very powerful things is that the technology itself is not very intrusive, so you really can use a transport protocol and have any kind of payload that you were using before without having to do any protocol conversions or anything like that. So this helps projects to adopt or to buy into this technology as well if they don't have to change too much of their existing interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and another part is if it was more commonly used in Europe, I guess it would be even more powerful. So really push for a very a broad use of EBXML will be very helpful in the future.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we discussed prior this interview, that Pim van der Eyck is doing use case studies for
right.
OASIS, and basically we can encourage EBXML end users to participate in such use case studies, because it then helps to spread the word of successful EBXML implementations.
Right. And as I said before, we'll support that and are giving our experience to one of these case studies.
Okay. We're coming to the end of the interview. I would like to ask each one of you to summarize a little bit, to again bring the points you want to make again about EBXML as an end user to all listeners. Let's start with Ralf.
Okay. So what I will underline is definitely that EBXML, I think it's the only standard which is really standardized by open communities, and this was one of the most important reasons why we evaluated it for our customers. And what I also will say is that with our current implementation and current infrastructure, we can cover our current requirements, our business requirements, which will be set up by the business projects. So I think there are some open issues in EBXML, like support of BPSS by some products, which is some configuration issues concerning the certification exchange, and so on. But like Thomas said before, I think we will do the same decision when we had to do it in the future, like we did it in the past.
Thank you. Thomas, you want to add one or two things?
I think I said it before in my last statement, basically what I would summarize. So I'm happy with what Ralph said and what I already mentioned before.
Okay, thank you. And Pim, summary from your view.
Well, I think what end users, if they are looking at EBXML, can learn from us. We evaluated a lot of suppliers, and we were positively surprised by the quality of products and support. So there's no need to hesitate about that. Just invite suppliers to you and let them show you what they offer. There's some pretty good tools out there. And EBXML, in this community, we are using it as an infrastructure. So as mentioned before, it can support all sorts of existing payloads. You can use it for very diverse business processes, both large documents, small documents, high latency communication and low latency communication. So for us, it's really a general purpose, reliable infrastructure, and the reliability is a big plus. It's reliable messaging. The importance of it cannot be overstated, I think.
Okay. Thanks very much, Thomas, Rolf, and Pim. Thank you very much for your time and sharing your knowledge with us today. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.